Hey, what is up, CW Fighters? Stoked you're here again for another installment in the CW Archive. That just sounded really epic, I needed to say it. So today we're going to be chatting with Toni, and she has some wild stories from supernatural experiences growing up and even currently. So without further ado, let's jump in to the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Zook.
Hey, guys, I'm Drewski.
Hey, don't touch that. Don't touch that!
Welcome to Crypto Warfare!
And if you have a story or encounter, shoot us an email or a detailed voice message to cryptidwarfare@gmail.com. That's CRYTTIDWARFARE@gmail.com.
This is Drewski.
And Z Babes.
Yeah. All right, guys. We are with Cryptid Warfare and Conspiracies Podcast. I want to say thank you guys for tuning in. And guys, we got an awesome guest on, Miss Toni. I'm gonna call her Miss Toni. Miss T. All
right.
Anyways, guys, yeah, she has an amazing testimony. So
yeah,
if you guys, okay, all I'm saying is buckle up, sit down, get your coffee, and be prayed
up
and listen.
And you're gonna want to
be ready. Yeah. All right, guys, here we go. Miss Toni, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much for having me and giving me this opportunity. It's so far, it's just wonderful. It's so wonderful to meet you both, and I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, like I said, like I try to tell everybody else, we actually appreciate you coming on, and you know, like, and being brave, and not only that, like, sacrificing your time, because I know how everybody has like different like time signatures and stuff like that, and everybody's you know, just busy, you know, like with their own time. So I just appreciate you coming on and, you know, sacrificing some time a little bit to hang out with old me and Z. So
yeah,
but all right, okay so anyways, yeah, so you and I have been chit-chatting for a while, and yeah, so like you have a plethora of, I consider them spiritual warfare stories, but basically like paranormal encounters. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So okay, so before we get started, okay.
Yeah.
What is your take on paranormal? Like, okay, what do you think about ghosts and stuff like that?
Well, ghosts were once living people, you know. So I believe it's an energy, you know. Some of them are either they're stuck in a loop, which is kind of like it's not really residual haunting, because the residual is not really the spirit there. It's just the energy that continues to manifest itself and repeats the same process that it might have when the person was alive. And that's usually when that happens, from what I've gathered. Now, this is all still very new to me, even though these things happened to me all my life, but I've had to look, had to teach myself an awful lot. But from what I've gathered, it's usually that type of thing happens when something really bad has been left behind. Say somebody was either murdered or they committed suicide and that kind of thing. Whereas a ghost itself might just like visit once in a while, or they might even visit more often. It's interesting that we just spoke about this, because I believe that I've only seen maybe one ghost in my life, and the rest, I'm not sure about what they were. And that was just recently. My husband and I, we lost a very dear friend, and he actually passed away on the operating table. But before we even knew this, I was sitting on the couch and folding laundry, and somebody stepped up. Like, I could see from my peripheral vision, I mean, I literally could see this person standing there. And for a moment, I actually thought it might have been my husband. And I turned to look, and then all of a sudden that figure was gone. Whereas my husband then almost instantaneously walked up. And I said, "Honey, you weren't just standing there, were you?" And he goes, "No." And it's right at this chair where our friend had actually sat last. And we got a phone call about 2 hours later, something like that. My brother-in-law had told us that the friend did indeed pass away and on the operating table. So I knew exactly who that was that came. It's like he said, came to say goodbye. And I didn't get a bad feeling. I didn't get a chill. It wasn't unnerving, nothing like that. Yeah. But then all my other ones have been pretty unnerving, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that's a ghost to me.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's good. Okay. So we're gonna get to as Zook says, to the juicy part of this.
Okay.
So Zook's word. Okay. So I was reading through your thing. Okay. So you basically stated like you've survived a lot of paranormal events in your lifetime. So
let's
get started.
Well, at first,
where did it all start? Yeah.
Yeah. The first one started, I grew up in California. I was there. We were there actually. My husband's from Buffalo. I'm from California. I was there for 63 years. And most of my encounters happened in California at various homes. And it seems like either I have this type of energy that attracts these things. I really don't know. But that veil was lifted when I was real tiny. I was only about four years old, maybe a little bit less. I say four because that's as close as I can get to it. Anyway, it started at an address in California, my first address. And it was there from 1959 to 1971 when we moved. And I'm just laying in bed, sleeping with my mom because we only had two bedrooms in this house. And it's a very old house, at least 100 years old, probably at the time we occupied it. And so being that there were only two bedrooms, my grandmother, who was my father's mother, because my father had passed away the same year I was born, she stayed with us, and either my sister Maria would sleep with her or sleep with mom and vice versa. Well, this night I slept with my mother while she slept with grandma. And we were just absolutely asleep. Now, they say that a lot of this stuff, they call it the witching hour, which is really what I've called it all along. Didn't even know. But a lot of these things happen in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., you know, right in between that time frame. So I can't tell you if that's the time it was. All I know, it was very dark. It was we had been asleep for quite a long time. And that's about as best I can do for a four-year-old to remember that much. I don't know time. I couldn't reckon time. But anyway, so I'm laying in the bed and I'm closest to this corner. And I it's like this energy you feel. It's just strange. You know that somebody or something is staring at you. And I opened my eyes and I looked, you know, because I was laying on my side. I looked directly into the corner, which was, as I said, closest to me. And there was this little boy standing there. But it wasn't like little boys in our neighborhood, which was a very small courtyard is what they called it back then. Just a smatter of houses, with ours being the old one there. Yeah. So it had to be a house that had been built there before the community actually was established. I mean, that area itself. Oh, it goes on. Let me tell you, I've been learning things as I go along. Anyway, so I open my eyes and I look at this little boy and he's standing there. And instead of being afraid, I was more curious. And it seemed like he was curious too, but his brows were very furrowed, like he was pleading or apologizing or something, but he looked very sad. And that, and just that in itself really broke my heart, but I was so little, you know? And I never really questioned why he was in the bedroom, you know? Just like, oh, you know, I got a little friend here and who are you? You know, never spoke a word. We never spoke a word. It was like we were in this transfixed conversation as children, you know? And anyway, I laid there and he stood there and we kind of just stared at each other. Now, I can say now that, you know, as I said, he didn't look like all the other children that I knew, but I knew he was a child. And I can't remember if he was semi-transparent or not, but I kind of feel like he was. That's as best as I can pull that memory back. But if you could just have felt the pain that I was feeling from his expression, it was just so sad. And I didn't wake my mom. I didn't stir in the bed at all. I just, again, like I said, we were just transfixed in conversation, in a sense, just with our eyes. And then all of a sudden, it was as if the whole room, the atmosphere, everything changed. And this really tall, and I mean, I would say another, he was a male as well. I know this in my heart, without a doubt. But in my opinion, this was a demon. Other people will say, well, it could have just been evil. And that's true. He could have just been evil. And when we die, we take that, whatever it is in our spirit, we take it with us beyond the grave and wherever else we might end up, you know, in this world. But I'm so sorry. I just got a text and I just got rid of it. And anyway, so he comes right out from behind him, from the little boy. It's as if this little boy was holding this entrance open, like I hear the word vortex. I hear, you know, I don't know what to call it because I'm just not that educated with this stuff, but I'm trying to learn. Anyway, he comes out right from behind him and he's got big, huge, bulging blue eyes. That I remember so distinctly. It's like I could see him in my mind's eye right now. And he was a skeletal figure, but his facial features would manipulate, like his grin got bigger and bigger and mm-hmm. and delight in him, right? Like, because I couldn't even breathe at that point. Yeah. I just, you know, I sucked in this air and I couldn't even breathe. And oh, it's awful. He steps out from behind the little boy and is like glaring at me, but his eyes are just big and bulging and his just grin just keeps widening and getting bigger. And as he's walking towards this cabinet that we had right underneath our window. And in that cabinet, I kept all of my art supplies. You know, I started school at 4 years old, so I had a little pair of the school scissors with a dull edge, you know, kids' scissors. And crayons and you know, coloring books and so forth. And he just, he walked over it. And the way he walked over was almost like a strobe light. It's not a fluid movement. It's not.
It was like, almost, he was kind of choppy, like kind of like that.
Yes, yes. Which is, you know, I find that very interesting, you know, because yeah, it was very choppy, that kind of movement. Nothing was fluid about it, but you could see everything, you know, moving. And, you know, he went up over to the cabinet and opened the door of the cabinet. It was a cabinet that opened this way, you know, like not like drawers. And he turned back to look at me one more time just to make sure he had my utmost attention. And of course he didn't. And still I'm petrified. You know, I can't even move. I can't scream. I can't do anything. My whole body is completely petrified and frozen. Like frozen in time. And he looked back at me and he reached his bony hand in there and pulled something out. And as he turned around, I noticed that he had my little scissors in his hands, in his one hand. Okay. And he looks at me and again, the grin, you know, I mean, it goes from big to bigger and he's just really delighting in the way he's scaring me. And he comes towards me like in a chopping motion, like a snip, snip, snip motion with the scissors. By this time, I finally got my air in my lungs and I screamed and I crawled over my mother. And my mother, you know, she just like didn't even know what is going on, you know. And I got as close as I could to her body on the other side of her. I crawled over from under the blankets and I'm huddling against her and I'm screaming and crying and you know, freaking out, you know. And she's just like, it woke her up and obviously she doesn't know what to do. And she's just holding me for a moment, you know, and I felt comfortable for a second, you know, cause I'm with mom, you know, everything's going to be all right, you know? And I lifted the blanket. Cause as I said, I'm underneath her and or against her and I have the blanket over my face. The moment I lifted the blanket, his face was right there and there were the scissors right there.
Yeah.
And yeah. Well, of course, there goes the major hysteria because I'm still seeing this. And of course, nobody else is seeing this. Mom's not seeing this. Nobody's seeing this but me. And the only way that there was a tiny bit of light that came through the shade of the room from the street light, you know, the little complex light, but not like a great amount of light. Now these both of these entities were semi iridescent, if that makes any sense, but when I looked back before I jumped over my mom, I looked back to see where if the little boy was there. Of course, he was gone. So as I mentioned, I don't know if he was pleading with me to forgive him and how sorry he was that this was going to happen. But somebody else had told me that there's an amount of time between our world and their world. And in order to keep that open, sometimes another entity might have to stand in that presence to keep that door open. And maybe he was like his little pawn or what have you to do that job, to keep that opening. Anyway, so back to where I was at. So by this time, you know, as I said, I lifted the blanket, and he was there in my face, and I'm just really going crazy, hysterical. And my mom, she just jumps up. By this time, she jumps up and turns, grabs the light, you know, switches the light on. My grandmother and my sister come running in, you know, and everybody's like, you know, on full alert, you know, because I had never acted like that as a child. You know, they knew that. I wasn't that kind of little girl. I was very quiet, nothing like I am today. anyway, my mom checked me over, make sure that, you know, I didn't have a fever. I didn't have any kind of pin stuck in me somewhere or something, you know, just or a spider bite or what have you. And everything checked out clear, perfectly fine. And so what happened was my grandmother was just standing there. She said, "Why don't you just let Tony come sleep with me and we'll trade places. Maria will come in here." And that's what we did. The next morning, now, this is something I'm going to tell you right now that I haven't shared with a single solitary person, except for like my husband and very close friends. I've never shared this. I don't have this in my, but I have a connection with you for so many reasons. I don't have it in on any blog or in any magazine or in any other place at all. Okay. But growing up, I always went to church with grandma. Okay. And so grandma was a very, very beautifully religious person in my life in a good way. Mm-hmm. Everything about her was wonderful. So I went and laid down with grandma. And this part's going to make me want to cry because it was so good.
Yeah.
So I'm laying with grandma and she had this beautiful birdie wallpaper. And I'm still there and I'm laying not next to her and I'm still sniffling and crying and it's just the oddest thing because, you know, I mean, you're going to think, I mean, child's mind can really go places, but this was real, you know, and this little bird from her birdie wallpaper landed on my finger. I'm not kidding. And nobody knows this. Nobody knows this.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to about to cry because it was so good. And he just told me, don't cry, you know, and I was like, it was so good in grandma's room. Everything was so good.
Yeah.
And I finally went to sleep, which is, we're looking at maybe, who knows, 5 o'clock in the morning, even if I even got that much, 5 minutes sleep. And it was time to get up. Grandma was already up. Mom was already up. My sister was already up. And nobody's in the bedrooms. So I get up and I go in. I know my shoes are in Mom's room. You know, and I go in there and I'm like creeping around, so scared, you know, to even round that corner thinking that monster might be there, but it's daylight now. So he should be gone, you know, because of course, again, nobody knows what I seen.
Yeah.
And I go walking in into the bedroom and I look for my shoes where they were supposed to be and they were not there.
Mm.
And I go around again. Now, they would have been on the side where that corner was, as I mentioned. So I go back around on the other side where I got on the other side of my mother, where the whole thing happened at the end there. And lo and behold, I look on the floor and there were my scissors.
Mm.
So that just, it just solidified and proved that everything that I had seen was real. Now, you know, in that same house, I had another one. It was a girlfriend of mine. She came over to spend the night and we had this, they called it a Riviera. It was a brand called Riviera bed, Riviera couch. And it would be like a rollout bed. And so we were staying in the living room and there was a really huge fireplace to my right, because the TV was facing the couch, and we rolled the bed out, and my mom, sorry, it's like, because I was crying about the other thing, I never told anybody.
No, you're good. Hold on real quick.
Yeah, please.
Like, I want to say that's what you said is awesome. And what's funny is that when you talk about how your grandma's room just felt peaceful and stuff, like you said, she was very like a beautiful religious woman.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit was definitely residing in that room. For
Amen.
Sure. That's and not exactly. only that, I consider those little miracles, I call those God winks.
Yes.
So I do believe that in a God was just letting you know, like, hey, it's all good. Everything's okay. Yeah. You're good to go. Anyways, I just had to say that. I thought that was really
I cool. love that, because I believe that too. And I never stayed the night in my mom's room again after that. I would only sleep with grandma.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Let me add, I got a few like interesting points I was wanting to bring up, because I think that's really wild. I know when my grandmother passed, I was really close to her. And I learned more about her at her funeral than I did her whole life, because I did a lot of moving around, a lot of family drama, so to speak. So she was always there for me. And I'd always wondered, like, I can feel a different sense of spirituality around her, which I knew was the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't raised in a Christian household, so I didn't know what that was. And then after I was a Christian and then I was at her funeral, it's crazy. It clicked with me right then. Uh-huh. And then I was just really sad about it, of course. And then on my drive home, yeah, like I got the imagery out of my head, like out of nowhere, of her sitting in my passenger seat, just comforting me.
Oh,
so it's just interesting how this stuff can show up. And especially when we're children,
mm-hmm.
how little miracles, I mean, our minds are way different. They're still adapting to our world, yeah. But our spiritual minds are just so open then. But so let me see. I have a series of questions or just thoughts that I think are cool, but I do think it's interesting when you talked about just that sense of knowing that you're being watched. So our primal senses, it's crazy how God created them, because they can work both in the physical realm and the spiritual realm. And I don't know, I just had this thought, but did you have any imaginary friends as well as a kid?
Never.
Okay. Because I've heard of like some kids when they have like some supernatural experiences, though, because that ended up being me. Let's see. And what are your thoughts about demons posing as children or loved ones to manipulate us or keep us in a state of fear or depression?
Well, as I know that you both know the Bible, we know that there's a battle going around us at all times.
Oh yeah.
So when these things, you know, again, I was convinced that creature was a demon. And although he had possessed, you know, facial features as a man, and I'm not saying that he really was a demon, but what he did was demonic. You know, when you try to attack and frighten a child, they're you're really bad. But anyway, what do I think about that? Now, I've had another experience that I wasn't sure what this thing was. And it was in the height of the stature of a child. And he came to me twice. And the first time he came, it was the oddest thing, just sitting up and working on my laptop, and he just stood there looking at me. This was just about 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was "Precious Jesus," because I knew exactly what I was looking at. And this creature just turned, he just about face turned around and went right into the wall. Well, one night, probably about, no, I don't know, maybe a week later, maybe less, my husband had fallen asleep in our guest bedroom and reading. And so I was in our master, and I woke up again. And this was about the middle of the night, just enough light from the hallway to see right into the room, yet the door wasn't all the way open, so it wasn't like bright, but it was bright enough that I could see. And I was facing the door and woke up to see that same exact little guy, and I don't know if it was a guy or a girl, but it felt like it was a guy, staring over at me from my husband's side of the bed. And I just whipped the blankets up. Okay, it's time to get up. And I never seen it again. I just go, okay, it's time to get up. I didn't say anything that time. I just like, oh, and I go wake up my husband. Don't do that to me. You know, you can't leave me. You can't leave me in the room by myself. But Yeah, I've even seen stuff in this house, and you know, a shadow figure just flashed by the hallway or something, you know, or something else weird. Just the other day, one of our pictures of me and my husband, was all the other pictures were facing outward. This picture, out of no plausible reason, no logical reason, was turned around. So I mean, and I know it's only me and my husband who live here, and nobody comes in our house. You know, I mean, we haven't even had company yet, you know, so there's no way that would have happened. I asked my husband, "What did you do this? Can I ask you something?" And he's like, "No, I didn't do it." And I'm like, "Okay." But this stuff, now back to what you're asking, I think that's a hard one to say, because with that little one that I was telling you about, I didn't feel like it was demonic. And I think I've had two instances in my life that I felt were very demonic. The first one and another one I'll tell you about in a minute. But I don't feel it was demonic. But I didn't question it. I just like,
oh yeah.
You know? But I think that's absolutely possible, that yes, a child can appear to be a good spirit, and all the time it's a bad spirit. It's a bad entity. So yeah, it's wow. Absolutely plausible.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Did you hear, I don't know, this popped to my mind too, but it was earlier this week, which it was on the news, but it's a new type of syndrome that, or something that the medical, there's like a new medical term for it, where people see demonic faces. And somebody was referencing that movie Smile, where like, it's kind of like the Grinning Man, like it's an incredibly abnormal smile. But I mean, it is 100% like it, the features are off. Like you can clearly tell it's a demon, but It's so weird how they're trying to make so much of this, like the supernatural, they're trying to make it make sense based on our own physical realm. And I'm like, no, dude, it's just so weird to me.
That's one thing they're really trying to do, is trying to put like a medical aspect to it. They're just trying to slap a bumper sticker on it and just call it something different, you know?
Yeah. And you can't, because those of us who have actually encountered this kind of stuff, it has no medical basis at all, because mm-hmm. I was a normal little kid. There was absolutely no reason why I would have seen, and I never seen a spooky movie, never heard a spooky story, never, you know, none of those things, nothing like that was I was ever influenced by, you know, it's impossible. You know, you do hear about, like you just started, one of you started to speak about little kids, or you did, you asked me if I ever had an imaginary friend, and no, I never did. To be honest, my best friend that I would play with was Jesus. And that's who I literally believed in since I was tiny. My grandmother brought me up in the church. Like I said, she read King James Bible to me before I was even, while I was pre-verbal. So that was in my spirit. There was, you know, that was my friend. That was my, but I never seen him. Okay. Yeah. That was just my way of, because I was mostly alone. My sister was 5 years older, so we didn't do a lot of playing together. You know, it's more like, get out of here, kid. You know, but yeah, that was my friend. But it's because I just leaned on Jesus since I was tiny.
Yeah, you know? That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, that is so good to hear.
Really cool.
I still do.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Uh-huh. What's funny, I actually have a quick story with that. My oldest daughter, this is when she was, I think she was like 4 or 5. 30. No, not even. Model Star, yeah, this is when she was 5. I had a bunch of guys prior to me working law enforcement. It was for my birthday, and they all came over to Buffalo Wild Wings, right?
Oh.
We're just chilling out, eating, and one of my good friends, Will, he was going to sit down in this chair that was open next to me. And Model's daughter was like, "Hey, don't do that." He's like, "Why?" He goes, "Because Jesus pooped there. You don't want to sit there." It's like, wait, what? And he started laughing. So she's like, "Yes, me and Jesus are talking." And yeah, anyways, I just thought that was funny, but it just reminded me of what you said though, like,
yeah, but
having
you
that
know
friend,
what?
You know, yeah,
that's so sweet. That's so innocent. That's so innocent. Gosh,
man,
kids
I love
are so
the way
brave.
Kids, yeah, I love the way they explain things like supernatural. There was a boy that I used to. He was in my Sunday school class, and he and I we grew a really tight bond, and. And we would do one-on-ones because he was, I guess you can say, like a special needs to some extent, but he was incredibly intelligent. Mm. And man, he ended up getting cancer. And throughout the time, like he was in the hospital and he ended up passing away at 12. But it's so wild, like the amount of people that he brought to Christ. But I remember when he was in the nursing and like the nursing bed and stuff like that, and his grandmother walked in, he said, "Grandma, you just missed him." She was like, "Who?" He's like, "Jesus was in here. And guess what? He had a six pack." And of course we started laughing. But even I remember even like him being, oh gosh, probably like 9, 10 or younger than that.
Are you talking about Kobe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That kid, I mean, he radiated Jesus. It was I would get goosebumps like sometimes just because it was so powerful and I wasn't used to it. But like some of the things he would tell me when I'd be explaining Bible verses to him, they were just very prophetic. And
oh my goodness.
It's just, and too many people nowadays, it's in Thessalonians, I think Thessalonians 2 or 2nd. But it's like, don't let somebody tell you because of your youth, you can't achieve certain things or say
that's
or do
right.
something. And it's wild.
Right. And what a blessing to have known him.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And you'll see him again.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
And he'll probably be on a motorbike up in or in heaven just chilling. Well, there you are. I've been waiting on you.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
In fact, I have three more questions. I know, jumping around. I'm just eager. I love what you're saying. And a lot of people need to hear it too. But let's see. Do you think the demon implemented anything in your mind from that point on? For example, dark thoughts or senses that entered you at that point?
That injured me?
That might have entered you, like different spiritual senses, I guess more. What's the word?
I think I'm very intuitive about it, about them. When I feel something, believe me, when I feel something, I know it. And I quite honestly, I don't know if I would say that it was demons that opened that up for me, rather more that it's kind of a blessing.
Yeah, I think it's like one of the spiritual gifts God gave
exactly.
me, a gift of discernment, like not only just knowing but feeling, like the Holy Spirit's working through you. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you think about like your own day to day lives. How many times? I don't know about you, but I can tell you about myself. When I would get that sensation, don't turn this way. Go this way instead, and you find out later on that there was a fatal accident.
Step into the unknown with our exclusive collection of cryptid warfare apparel, from epic tees, stellar hoodies, drinkware, hats, and more. Picture this. You're decked out in our hoodie, hat, and taking notes in our exclusive field journal, ready to expose the truths hidden in plain sight. So whether you're battling unseen forces, chasing mythical creatures, or connecting the dots in the grand conspiracy, we've got the gear to amplify your style. Gear up, gear in, and get ready to embark on the journey of a lifetime. Because the truth is out there, and you need the right tools to equip yourself with. If you're looking for one-of-a-kind art that is sure to make you stand out from the crowd, then look no further than Drew's Tags. Drewski has created a world of custom art that will take you on a wild ride through sports, space, travel, military, cryptids, and beyond. Whether you're a fan of Bigfoot, a reptilian, conspiracy theorist, or just someone who appreciates a good pun, Drewski has something for everyone. So why settle for a boring old print when you can have a custom creation that is as unique as you are? Reach out to Drewski today and get started on your one-of-a-kind masterpiece. Check out his Instagram link in the show notes.
The same yes. place you were going to go. Another one, I can give you another, like just a real quick example of when you've got the when you've got discernment. This was a long time ago. I was about 16 or 17 years old, and somebody had asked me out on a date and go to this party. And I thought, well, okay. And I, at first I said, okay. And then later on, I thought about it and I thought, no, maybe I better not go. Well, I called the guy up and I told him, well, I don't think I should go. You know, I don't really like parties and I don't really want to go. And he kind of had a little fit and he goes, fine, I'll just take somebody else. Right. He took somebody else. They got in a car accident. She was killed instantly.
Oh man.
Yeah. No kidding. And yeah, I hadn't heard from him. So I gave him a call and he told me that they're getting him for vehicular manslaughter and all sorts of things. And I thought he was joking. He goes, I'm not joking. You know, you got kind of short with me. I don't blame him, you know, tell you the truth. But I thought, well, whatever, you know, but no, it was true. It was true. It was in the papers and it was true. And yes, indeed, that would have been me. So, you know, things can happen to us as Christians.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. You know, we're not exempt from all this stuff. We're not exempt from trials and tribulations, and we're not exempt from seeing spirits in the natural. It's like, to us, it's in the natural. To me, it's in the natural because I've seen them since I was little. You know, I've encountered this stuff since I was tiny. It's quite unnatural, of course, but because I can see them with my own eyes still at 64 years old.
Yes.
Let me tell you, you learn a lot from that. You learn a lot from that. And in my mind, I have to suppose that God was preparing me for a battle. Like I had mentioned to you before we got online here, that somebody had told me that if I hadn't seen him when I was little, how would I know what I was battling?
Exactly. And
I went, wow. I really just thought that was so profound because I've been looking for answers and answers. I've never done any type of divination. I never will. I have never spoken to a psychic. I have never spoken to a medium. I've never had a seance. I've never done any of that stuff because I know what the Bible says about that. But when I can put this out there and I'll get answers here and there from just regular people that don't practice or don't even profess to practice anything. And then you feel it in your spirit like, wow, that's what I was looking for. I just want to hear something because it's very confusing. You know, nobody else went through this. I mean, that I knew. My immediate family did. My grandmother, my mother, and my sister all had spiritual encounters, but not like mine.
Yeah.
Not like mine. And I also learned in all of this that it's a hereditary.
Mm-hmm. It's like,
it's a trait.
Yeah, I was going to bring up bloodline.
It's hereditary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things like that. But because it's the funniest thing because I was not on any kind of social media up until about 2 years ago. And even then, I hadn't just like opened up and started blurting everything. Mm. It took me a lot of long time. But as I was reading comments on different platforms, which I just joined Facebook only about, I don't know, 6-8 months ago. That's it, if that. And noticing how many people have had encounters during the 60s when I was growing up and in the 70s and even 80s and so on, nobody ever spoke of this stuff. And you kept it under wraps. It was pretty much a guarded secret for me. I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want anybody to think how crazy I was. And nowadays, it's just out there. People are either searching for ghosts or they've seen them or spirits or what have you. So I find it very comforting. You know, to have, it's almost like I have a tribe now, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, you have like community. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then being able to talk to both of you, it makes it just all the better because honest to goodness, I mean, because you're godly guys, so you can see this from a spiritual standpoint. It's not an illusion. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual battle.
Yep.
I want to give you one more example about a demon or an evil spirit, because this was another time that something happened to me. Again, I was living in California, and this was in a different city. It wasn't where I grew up in. I grew up in Anaheim, California. And I had just had my dog, and I owned this little house. My mother had passed away, and with my inheritance, I bought a little house, a 900 square foot, little tiny house, 2 bedrooms in this house as well. There was a back bedroom, which would have been my master bedroom, the owner's bedroom. And then one small bedroom, immediate right, where there was the only bathroom and the only shower, and everything else was accessed from that room. There was a closet in there too, as well. Well, one night I have no idea what possessed me to do this, but I had my collie and I said, let's go camping in this room instead. Cause it was just she and I, you know? So I just grabbed a lounge chair and I put it in that room and I just shut the door, and there wasn't a lock on the door or anything like that. And just, you know, we both fell asleep. She had her bed in there and all that good stuff. And we're falling asleep. And there's just, again, a little bit of light from the shade in the bedroom, the street lamp. And in the middle of the night, this was pretty unbelievable. I was literally it's just like the movies. I was literally lifted up off of that bed, off of that lounge chair, and just whipped around like a rag doll. I was certain that somebody was in the house. Oh, I was absolutely certain that somebody was in the house. And I'm looking around and I'm not seeing anybody at all. Well, this, whatever it was, grabbed me and threw me into the bathroom. As I said, there was a bathroom in there, and then there was a closet. And it, like, here's a bathroom, and then here's a closet. There were, you know, then a little small portion of wall between the two. And threw me into the bathroom, which is a very small, close quarter. And I slammed into the wall, and there was I had a ceramic towel rack thing on there.
Yeah.
And it slammed me into the rib, in my ribs. Ooh. And my ribs were bruised. And but that wasn't the end of it. All the time, the whole time that this is happening to me, my dog is yelping and crying, and I'm screaming, you know, I'm thinking there's somebody in this house. And I didn't have alarms on that little house, so I wouldn't have known if somebody had actually entered somehow or not. But the door wasn't open. The bedroom door wasn't open. And I was jerked from the bathroom and then, again, thrown around the room and then tossed face first, head first, into the closet. Then yanked back out by my ankles. And I mean, this is going on for I don't know how long, and I'm screaming and begging and like, I still don't see anything, and I would have been able to see something. And then I couldn't get the door open. I'm running towards the door. My dog is still yelping, and she's like, whatever she's going through, I didn't know. I have no idea. And I'm trying to open the door. And as I said, there was just barely enough light. I mean, just, it's such a smidgen of light that it barely casted any light at all in the room, but it still, you knew that there was, the window was over here on this side, you know? And as I said, I'm getting thrown around the room, but I'm grabbing for the door and I'm trying to open the door and trying to open the door. And I couldn't get the door open for the life of me. And I did have a roommate, and the roommate came, he worked a night shift, and he came and knocked on the door, and he goes, Tony, are you in there? And I go, yes, open the door, open the door, open the door. I can't get it open. And it just opened right up without a problem whatsoever. I couldn't get that door open. There was no reason for that. When he walked in, he'd seen the room, and there I had a big, huge drafting desk in that room. It was upturned. I had the closet. They had a portable closet. That was knocked down. All the drawers, I mean, the room looked like a tornado hit it. I had bruised ribs. My dog, poor thing, she couldn't wait. She just zoomed right out of the room. She never went into that room ever again. She wouldn't even pass that threshold of that room. And I used to have to go in there to take a shower. I'd be so scared. I'd be praying like, oh, Lord, precious Lord, you know, watch over me.
Yeah.
Well, later on, I found out that before I bought that house, the neighbors across the street were not, they were okay neighbors, but they used to use my house for very unsavory acts. And they used it in that room. So whatever energy that they left behind it, because I'd never spent the night in that room. And it was only concentrated in that room, because the rest of the house felt wonderful. And usually I can sense something when I go into somebody's house. This time I didn't. You know, when I bought that house, I sensed absolutely nothing. But then I didn't spend a lot of time in that room either. I walked through the house and I loved it. And I, you know, it was time to just buy it. So I did. Never had a problem, but again, as I said, I didn't spend much time in that room. I would just go in there to use a shower and I'd come back out. I kept clothes, you know, hung up in there and things like that. But when I found that out, she told me, she says, well, you know, we all used to go over there and we'd have an orgy and we did all these other things. I'm like, oh my gosh, if I would have known that, I never would have bought this house. I mean, I could have had a priest or somebody else, because when I bought it, I blessed the house. Mm-hmm. You know, I had some oils and I blessed the house and prayed. But that, you know, there are certain ones, I'm telling you, these kind of things, whether they might be cast out and they might be gone, but something else can replace it. And that's, it's almost that open, again, that open entrance for demonic things, you know, or just evil spirits. I wanted to say one more thing really quick before I forget, and we can talk about this one however you like, but I wanted to remember to say this. That area that I told you about from the very first encounter, I found out because I'm working with the Anaheim Historical Society and records departments and all that stuff, because I want to find out what happened in that house.
Yeah.
Because I really believe that child was killed there. That's just what my heart believes. But anyway, I learned that concentrated area where that house had stood there, when the land was like in 18, I want to say it was in the 1800s. They had these four entrances to that area. It was called the Four Gates of Anaheim. Mm. You entered from the north, the south, and the east and the west. To me, if you can imagine what I thought the gates were, you know, because that wasn't the only house that I had something that I had an encounter with.
Yeah.
It was the second house we did too. But if you have any questions, you can go ahead and I have more encounters, but I do want to
bring up too, because it made me think of something we talked about earlier, or something you said earlier made me think about how the media, they're trying to make this look very enticing, the supernatural. And a lot of people, they ended up like doing certain drugs or hanging around certain people doing certain activities that they don't realize that are like occult practices, or that will open up gateways.
And, yes.
And it's so wild how the social media, I don't know, it'll make it look like, I don't know, it's just like normal, like hanging out.
Like it's harmless, but it's not.
Yeah. And I'm like, nah, dude, Ouija board. And I come from that experience too. And then also, I just want to say, like, I don't know if you heard my testimony, but I became a Christian pretty much because of a witch. And it was seeing how real that is. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there is way more to this world than I'll ever know.
Yes.
And it's so wild too, because when you talked about a picture or being turned around, or something being like a door being open, a cabinet door, it's crazy, because I learned a whole lot about supernatural through her, how much energy it takes to be able to do that when they live in a different kind of spiritual dimension than we do, because they have to be in our world for so long, or to be able to manifest, to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why, man, they thrive off of our fear and off and off so many other things. And then too, whenever you talked about your land, I remember I've read several books too on deliverance, and it's crazy how many different type of ranks there are when it comes to demons. And and you have to be like at a certain spiritual level to rebuke them in a specific kind of way. I mean, yeah, like anything like will flee in Jesus' name.
Yes.
But that's still like, they're literally like on the prowl. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
And
then well, it's crazy
seven, like,
too.
Seven back and
yeah, what's crazy too, though, is that Jesus talks about too, like sometimes you cannot just pray. Sometimes you have to fast and pray. And then not only that too, like me and Zook were talking a while back, demons, how they infiltrate and stuff is they like attach themselves, right? I call them like nouns, right? Demons can attach themselves to people, to places or things, right?
Exactly.
And they can,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and they can like claim ground too, and Zook knows about that too. And
yes,
if a certain ground or block or anything is claimed, and you're not like at that point, like, you know, like it's very, very dangerous. And not only that, like if people, like example, like in your house, you know, that's how I am too. Like if I buy any home or anything like that, I make sure I go before my family goes in there. And I pray over that house too, but sometimes too, like I have to like keep doing it doing it, because if not, if I get complacent, that's when things start to happen, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, things could have happened on a ground that sours the ground before buildings were even built.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
You know, and it's just, like you mentioned
portals.
Objects as well. So I don't go in antique stores or anything like that anymore.
Yeah, I know. Ever since that, same here.
Oh, I never thought about that. Crap.
Yeah,
I love antiquing.
I mean, I have some old stuff, but it was from my grandmother and my great grandmother.
Yeah.
Both very, very godly women, you know. But I don't buy antiques anymore. In that same house where I was beat up real bad, now it could have been just the energy that was left behind from what the neighbors used to do in my house, but it also could have been this vanity I had bought. I had bought from an antique store. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but that whole thing about antiques and how things can attach themselves to it, because, and the energy and whatever the energy was while it was alive, or whomever, I mean to say, can attach itself to it. Sorry, I got rid of that thing, by the way. But yeah, I won't even go into antique stores or anything like that now.
So after you got
rid of it, you have to be hyper vigilant.
Yeah, I agree. So after you got rid of it, did stuff kind of like die down?
I just never went in our room anymore. Like I said, the only I went in there was to take a shower and scoop myself out of there. My dog never passed that threshold again. So, you know, do animals see things? I believe they do.
Because
they're not polluted like we are. Mm-hmm. You know, as we get older, you know, obviously when you're very little, you're innocent, you're impressionable, you're all those things. We're not polluted when we're tiny. No. We don't have that veil, you know, we don't have that sensibility or, you know, denial of, no, this can't be true. You know, little ones, we don't think anything about it, mm-hmm. you know? So things will appear to children a lot, you know, but back on your subject where you said, yeah, you're seeing things to make it this spirit, this ghost hunting or what have you. Now I'm not putting anybody down that enjoys this, that's fine, but I would never do it. When somebody tells me this place is haunted, would you go? Absolutely not.
Yep.
Absolutely not.
You know the price with that. You know,
yes,
things could follow you home and all.
Exactly.
That.
Yeah, exactly.
Boundaries as well. Like, uh-huh. That's definitely like a non-negotiable. I'm like, I don't know how my past is.
Same here.
I'm very addicted.
Right.
I'm too curious to the supernatural.
Yeah, you don't know what will follow you, and it's, to me, it's just too dangerous. You know, the last encounters that I've had were I've just given you the two that were terrifying. The rest, and there are many more, were not as terrifying. They're unsettling, yes, but they're not as terrifying. You know, but the first one that happened to me at 4 years old, and then the actual physical attack, those are terrible.
Yes,
those are terrible, but. So I certainly wouldn't be going to look for anything. You know, I know better than that. You just don't know what you're opening a door to. You don't know. And some people don't believe that a Ouija board or tarot cards or any of these other kinds of divination devices are dangerous. You know, I can't agree with that. I've never done it. And even though I've never done it, I had my aunt, who is no longer living, she did when she was a lot younger. And that Ouija board spelled out something pretty, pretty horrible to her. I can't even repeat it, that the devil wanted to do with her. So let me tell you, it certainly can happen. You know, bad things happen, you know, and sometimes with those of us who are really connected with God, you might even have more problems because of it, you know?
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, 'cause you have a big target on your back.
Exactly. Yeah.
It does. And real quick, I just want to bring up one thing, because I actually need to head out and go to work.
Okay.
But I do want to say, when you talked about the Ouija board and tarot cards, sorry, that plane is so loud. Let me shut this door. Okay. It's interesting because people go to fortune tellers and stuff like that. And then as soon as they accept what the fortune teller or tarot card person tells them, then that gives entry for these demons to enter their lives. Mm-hmm. And that then, like, all that stuff, like, it will come true because these demons can't happen. But it's so unfortunate. So many people fall for that. And it stinks. I mean, because our God is bigger than anything.
Yeah.
Anything. But some people, they want, like, really quick fixes and stuff like that. And I know, like, demonic stuff, like, they can make it happen. Like,
oh, yeah, of course.
So it looks, and it's just so wild. But
yeah, that's the last two stories. I don't know what the future has.
But that's, like, I don't know, something that I've learned just now. But yeah, I've got to head out, but Drusy's going to keep on with the show, and I can't wait to listen to this later.
Once it's done. So nice meeting you.
Yeah, nice
so,
meeting
so
you.
So nice. Take care.
Hey, you too. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye. Okay, so God, what a great, you guys are a really great team. You really are. I don't have your audio.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I was just saying that. I was saying that. Yeah. And that, yeah, Zook's been in my life for a while. We've been friends for a while. So
yeah,
kind of gel off each other, I guess.
So Have either of you had any encounters before?
Oh yeah, we have, man, Zook's testimony. Matter of fact, after we get off, I will actually send you the podcast episodes that I actually
Okay.
recorded him, and it was like a two episodes where he talked about his testimony. Like
Wow.
it's crazy. Yeah, he actually had a lot of like a lot of spiritual encounters like you have. He actually dated a witch for a long time, and she showed him all like the whole Satanist aspect and all that, and goes
Oh,
on. Yeah,
so
so
he really had his eyes opened.
big time. Yeah, and then after that, God really got a hold of him. So
And then and the fact that he had a praying grandma, so grandma's like, come on, we gotta
Yep. Oh,
we
grandma
gotta
knew what
send
was
some good
up.
spirits there, and come on, we gotta influence the grandson here. He's gotta be in the good side. I mean, there's just so much out there that is actually good that we're blessed with, and there's no need to go searching for anything else. There just isn't. And I've never known anything else, and I never want to know anything else.
Yeah.
At 64 years and counting, so I
Yeah.
love the Lord. I love him with
Amen to
all my
that.
heart.
Yeah, and that's, and with us, with our podcast, like that's the reason why we call it Cryptid Warfare, is because we don't just deal with cryptids, but we want to show light and stuff like that on what these entities really are, or paranormal or ghosts or anything like that. And then, but we also, we also like want to love on people too. And like, and
Absolutely.
we have this as like a, I want to say counseling, but as like a piece where people could just place where people could just vent, because a lot of this stuff, like people, they just don't really talk about because they get ridiculed, they got make fun of. So,
Well, right. That's why I never did. I never spoke about it.
And yeah, and like you said, like as soon as you got on the internet and Facebook and all this stuff, you started to see, holy crap, there's a
Well,
lot of
yeah.
people out there like that, that have
Unbelievable.
experiences. Yeah.
Unbelievable amounts of people that I'm like, wow, so I'm not alone. This is
Yeah.
great. This is
Yeah.
great. And I've heard some stories of other people, and some of them are just really sad, because it's a lonely place when that part of it. Quite honestly, until I started talking about it and seeing it, I really didn't think about my encounters much. But then I thought, if I go ahead and start sharing some of mine, maybe it'll help somebody else, and that makes it
Yes.
worth the while, I think, for all of us. I'm sure that's how you guys might feel too. You're leaving an open space for people to talk about their encounters, whether it be with a cryptid or spirits and such. And even I've never had an encounter with a cryptid, as far as I know. As far as I know, but that it's hard to say. We don't know what we come across on a day-to-day basis. You could be passing by an actual entity that looks as solid as a human being, or a demon looks as solid, as a human being, because we know that angels masquerade basically as people sometimes, So why not the other side? We don't know. But there is so much good, as I said, there's so much good things in life that, me personally, I don't want to get stuck on the aspect of paranormal, although it's a very interesting subject. It's a very interesting subject because I do approach it with in the spiritual realm, and that's what I have always believed, at least where I'm concerned. It's like a spiritual battle. And there is a battleground, and there is battles going on right now while we're talking. We can't see them. Quite honestly, I'm glad I can't. But there are battles going around us at all times.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, like Ephesians 6:12, like you said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of this age. Yeah.
Yeah,
Powers of the air. Yeah.
exactly. So I'm hoping that, whenever I share something, and I'm so glad that I can just open up, because I try to be careful about speaking about the Lord on other platforms. And it's not because I'm ashamed, but because I don't want somebody to say something very negative to me, because I get that fire in me when somebody says something bad about my Lord. I can tell you that. And I don't want that to get out there. I just don't, but I've talked to some people on the platforms that you know said, oh yeah, no, yeah, I believe in the Lord too, you know, and it's great. I love yeah. that. But I've never been this open like you and I and Zababy, yeah. right?
Zook, but that's what we call him, a Zababy. Yeah.
Yeah, have been. We're very open right now, and this is wonderful. I you know, as I mentioned, I probably already said it twice. You know, even though we're believers, does not mean we're exempt.
Yeah.
We're not exempt. And from so many things, either trials and tribulations and even the spiritual things. Even those things that are spiritual, even demonic, any of those things. Now, as believers, we can't be demon possessed, but we can be oppressed.
Yep.
You know, and the oppression can always happen, you know, and that's why it's so good to get into the Word every day. Put on that armor.
Yeah. What was funny is what you were talking about earlier, how, oh gosh. Okay, like you're talking about how angels can masquerade like human beings. It reminds me of Hebrews 13, 1 through 3. Be not forgetful, or because, you know, you might be entertaining angels.
Entertaining.
Yeah.
That's right. And actually, that's even in the Old Testament, too, I believe, mm-hmm. where the Israelites were told to be kind to strangers and people, mm-hmm. the strangers in your town. I'm about positive it's in the Old Testament as well. But
yes.
In any event, yeah. We know it's in the New Testament.
Well, yeah, too. You know, it talks about when Abraham's brother, or what was it, nephew Lot.
Lot.
You know, how those angels came to tell him, hey, bud, you need to get out of here because this place is about to go up, man. Let's go.
And what did that's Sodom and Gomorrah. What did they do? Remember what they did in that story where they started banging on the door, let mm-hmm. him out here so we can have sex with him.
Yep.
They exactly. didn't realize that they were talking about angels and they couldn't even find 10 people good enough to save Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, it was funny because he kept dropping the number.
Yeah.
He's like oh, okay, what about 20? He's like, okay, how about 15, 10? You know,
exactly. And they couldn't even find 10. And then, of course, as we know, you know, that God told them, or the angel told them, there were two angels, I believe, told not to look back. And Sarah did look back and turned into mm-hmm. a pillar of salt.
Yeah.
I mean, if the good Lord tells me don't look back, man, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be like, holding blinkers over my face. Don't look back. Don't look back to me.
I'm gonna be looking like Ray Charles, man. Just pull me.
the blind man.
Yeah.
Oh, Ray, I love Ray Charles. But it's the Bible stories are absolutely incredible. And to me, you know, as King Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. So there's an example of every type of living, every type of even addiction, you know, or desire, and there, it's like the life manual. You'll find everything that you want to know about yourself in there, you know?
Yeah. It's like this. I've heard it as like this acronym, like the Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth.
That's right. I've heard that before. Yes. And I love that. I think that's very adorable. And it basically is basic instructions before leaving the earth, huh? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, I started to tell you one more story, and I'm
gonna, let's do it.
You know, I like I said, I have others, but I started to tell you another one. This was again at the old house, the very first time, and that remember I started to tell you about the fireplace and my little friends spending the night. Now I was probably about 9 years old. Nothing had happened in between the time I was 4 years old to about. To that time. And only two things ever happened in that house. We moved out in 1971 when we had an earthquake that collapsed the porch, the overhanging porch roof onto the cement. And so the house had gotten condemned. So we moved out and moved into another house in 1971. Well, again, I had a little friend over from school and it was, you know, a slumber party thing, you know, my mom rolled out the bed, and as I mentioned, there was a fireplace on closest to my side, and the area was very narrow to walk, so I took that side and let my little friend have the open space so she can use the restroom or whatever she needed to do. And, you know, I'm facing her, and she's facing me, and we're, like, giggling and stuff, and we're getting ready to kind of nod off, and she fell asleep before me, and I was kind of in the twilight, in and out, in a sense, if that makes any sense. I wasn't quite like in a deep sleep at all, but I was in an almost, like I said, a twilight type sleep, kind of conscious, but not, you know, fully conscious. I had that feeling again.
Yeah.
And that feeling, you know, and it's like my eyes just immediately like pop open, like what's going on, and I can feel it. And I'm just, as I said, we're facing each other like this. The fireplace is on this side. And I can feel this like darkness against, like right in the room. And I kind of just barely look. And I could see it looked like a cloaked figure, but basically we're just talking about a huge giant in my eyes, because I was still little, like a real huge giant figure of a black figure, dark, just black, you know, face, nothing, couldn't see anything, but I could feel that, yeah, that thing was looking at me, because it kind of bent over like this.
Yes.
And it stood there for a minute, and then it went to the foot of the bed and just stood there for a second, and then it came back around to this side. Now it's on her side, and I'm just not saying anything. I'm staying quiet till I'm watching this thing, and I'm staying quiet. I don't want to wake her up. I don't want to wake up the house again either. And it just stands and looms over her in the same manner, and then it backs up, and it's like a hole opened in on the living room floor. It just like opened up, and this thing just was swallowed down inside, and the hole closed. I know how weird that sounds,
no,
but it happened so fast.
Yeah.
And it's that same house where that horrible, horrible thing was.
Yeah.
I didn't see real facial features or anything. It wasn't like when it was real, real little.
Yeah.
But it came out of the fireplace. And as we were talking earlier about the ground could have been soiled and spoiled or what have you prior to even the house being built. Who knows? Because you don't know. You just don't know. But nothing else after that happened in that house. Just those two things.
Yeah.
And I mean, by the time I felt that feeling, oh, believe me, I'm wide awake now. And I was so glad my little friend didn't wake up. And of course, I didn't tell her because I didn't want her to know. And secondly, I didn't want her to not come spend the night again. but tell you the truth, I never asked her to spend the night again because I worried about that. Thankfully, nothing happened. But that was the only two that happened in that house.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, you know, yeah, my family members had encounters as well. I have a cousin who still lives in California. And one day I went to her house, and I went into the bathroom area. She has an old Victorian house, and I went into the bathroom area, and I came back out because I went in there to wash my feet, and I came back out, and I just told her, I said, there's a man in that bathroom. And I go, not a man that's living. I said, there was a man in this bathroom. I go, and I could feel him. She goes, oh my gosh, how did you know? I go, how did I know what? Apparently the previous owner before she bought the house was a doctor, and he had died right there in the house. And so she asked me, I told her then and there, I said, it's just not frightening. It's not a bad, I don't feel anything evil, but that I know there's a man's presence here, you know. And she was single mom. So there wasn't, because there was a, you know, shaving cream and things like that. No, there was nothing like that. It was all feminine stuff, you know, all women's things. And, but I knew that there was somebody that had died in that house. I knew it, but I just like, why didn't you tell me, you know, cause I wouldn't have been over there, you know, but these are the things that you live with, you know, you just live with, and you learn to cope with it. It doesn't bother me. As I said, it doesn't bother me now as much. I mean, the two incidences where that I find to be profoundly evil,
violent, that's
one thing, but any of the other ones, like the turned picture or a shadow figure running past or something like that, it doesn't really bother me. I mean, I usually do not acknowledge it at all. I just won't acknowledge it. I'll just look the other way. Like I said, that one little guy that came in and I appeared twice, I just go, okay, it's time to get up, you know, because I don't want to acknowledge it.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want to give it that power.
Right, right. Yeah.
Have you ever had a close encounter with the unknown? Have you stumbled upon a conspiracy that's just too strange to be true? Well, now's your chance to share it with the world. Our Cryptid and Conspiracy podcast is on the hunt for the most intriguing and unexplained stories. And we want to hear from you. Submit your tale by voice message or email and join us as we delve into the mysterious world of cryptids and conspiracies. So don't keep your story to yourself. Let's explore the unexplained together. Get in touch and let's make some noise. Links in the show notes. Get ready for some monster-sized entertainment with no pesky ads. Subscribe to our Cryptid and Conspiracies podcast for just a few coins a month. And listen to all the spooky tales of the unknown creatures and conspiracies in commercial-free bliss. Get your subscription now and join the hunt for the truth today. Link in the show notes.
Well, it's funny you talking about shadow people, like basically the question going back to where you asked me and Zook if we had any paranormal experiences.
Yeah.
Yes, I've had a bunch, but I've had a lot when I was a kid. I saw a lot of shadow people, and we lived in, and what's funny is, okay, like studying a lot of like a demonology, stuff like that, and also learning from one of my friends. He used to be a Satanist. Now he's not anymore. Now he's a born again Christian. So he's given me a lot of good information on how the whole aspect works for the other side, right? On how they like attack Christians and certain things that they do, stuff like that, and what different entities mean and all that. So it's very, very interesting. But anyways, he was talking about, like, he's the one that told me, like, demons are like a noun, a person, place, or thing, right? We use them to basically to claim ground. We use them to charge objects. We use them to all this stuff. But this old house I used to live in when I was young, I always felt something was off about it, but I just kind of put my finger on it. And I was around 7 years old. So anyway, so one night I stayed up late and I was in my living room and playing Nintendo, and my mom, she got home late from work, so she went upstairs to sleep. And my aunt, we actually lived with my aunt at the time, and she had a bedroom downstairs, but she was working the night shift, so she wasn't home. So our couch was against the wall, but it was facing the stairway to go upstairs, right? The TV was at the wall where the stairs is at.
Okay, so like where it goes up.
Yes.
Like the wall, okay.
Exactly, yeah. So I was watching TV, and then I fell asleep, and then that was when the TV used to, at late at night, used to go over to like static. Remember that? Yeah, of course. I know. I like all these young people, like, what is that? What is that? You know? So anyways, yeah. So I woke up to that, and then I fell back asleep. And then my mom must have came downstairs and shut the TV off. Because then I woke up again, and I was looking, and I thought it was her walking up, but then I saw multiple people. And then after that, like, my eyes got like adjusted to the dark. And then I just seen people walking up and down the stairs. Like, they were like coming down the stairs, and then as they got to the bottom, they would just like disappear. And then the ones would go up, they would like slowly appear from the foot of the stairs, and they would go up. And I saw the silhouettes of them. They look like they were back in like the Victorian days. Because some of the guys had like top hats. The other girls had like bloom, like big bell dresses and stuff like that. Yeah. And then I'm just like, I can't scream. I can't do anything, but I'm trying to squeeze myself on the crack of the couch in it.
Trying to hide.
Yeah. And then finally I got tired of holding my breath, and I exhaled like that. And all of a sudden they all stopped and they just turned. And they all started walking downstairs, and then I passed out from being so scared.
And then
I woke up because I couldn't scream or anything. And I woke up with my Nina, with my aunt, scratching my toes. Hey, Heath, get up. It's time to eat. And I was like, yeah. So I didn't tell my mom or anything. And then later on, like as through life, I told my mom, I was like, hey, one time I actually seen some shadow people at this house. She's like, really? She's like, Andrew, I used to see him all the time. Oh, they used to come in my room upstairs because my room was upstairs.
So that's mom's room, going again.
My mom's room was across from mine. So my mom used to wake up with people opening up the door and she's seeing silhouettes. All of a sudden they just disappear. Yeah.
So that, when you first started telling me this, I kept thinking, well, maybe it was residual till you said when you let your breath out and they stopped.
Yeah.
That's not residual. That's not a residual haunting. That is really a haunting. That's just your garden variety haunting.
Yeah.
These people, crazy. That was their home, maybe, right?
Who knows? Well, it was funny because now that I'm older, like 2 years ago, I actually did some digging onto the property it's on, right? Uh-huh. I guess before, a long time ago, that used to be a main road, in Colorado, where they used to do gambling and stuff like that.
Oh,
and so basically in that area, they had a couple saloons and stuff like that there. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I can kind of see
this. Pretty people going on here.
So they're probably what the heck is this kid doing in here? You know,
isn't that interesting though?
Yeah,
that was how terrifying for you.
Yeah, and then one more real quick.
Did you say it was your Nina or your mom that said that they were seeing him all the time?
My mom.
Your mom.
Ugh. Yeah, but my
and they
aunt,
opened the door.
Yeah. They would open the door to my mom's room and all of a sudden she'd look and see a figure, all of a sudden it would just disappear.
That's what they call an intelligent haunting, an intelligent spirit.
Okay.
That's like what when the cabinet was opened when I was little, room with the scissors, and when the door wouldn't open, those are called intelligent spirits. I would think all spirits are pretty intelligent, tell you the truth, because I mean you're on the other side, but they have that kind of power where they can actually move things. Now you're talking about your friend here. Please tell me more.
okay so I'll go back to this one, but when you said opening up cabinets and stuff like that, the residual spirits you're talking about. Another one happened to me where my mom was working I think she was out of town. So one of my mom's best friend named Lorraine, she was like an aunt to me. So she was watching me. Well, we went to go watch a movie and then it was up in Manitou Springs. Well, we were out really late. So she called one of her friends and she's like, hey, can we just go over and just crash at your place and then we'll just leave in the morning? She's like, yeah, come on over. So it was me, my aunt Lorraine, and then her boyfriend. So we got there, and this is when I was like 7 at the same time. But the shadow people, I saw this prior to what's going to be happening, what I'm going to tell you about. So we finally went to my aunt Lorraine's friend's house. It was late, and they basically put this box spring mattress on the living room floor. Well, it was almost kind of like a shotgun house, right? As soon as you walk in, the living room, then the bedroom, the living room, then the kitchen, then the bedrooms, right?
Right. That's a shotgun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Shotgun.
So they basically put the mattress on the floor of the living room, and it was, and like our feet were facing like the
outward
kitchen.
Yeah. Okay.
Like kitchen. Well, the guy, he went to bed, this dude's husband, and the lady was like, hey, just to let you guys know, we have a ghost in our house. So if you guys start hearing, like, he just opens up our cabinets and stuff in the kitchen. So, you know, just tell him to shut up or just yell at us and we'll take care of it. And then my Aunt Lorraine was like, what the freak did they just say? So her boyfriend's like, don't worry about it, we're fine. So we're all laying down on this mattress, and it's like a queen size mattress. So we're all spooning, right? So I'm little like that, and my aunt's holding me, and then her boyfriend's holding her and me like that.
Aww.
And anyway, so it's like really late. So I'm starting to doze off, and all the lights are off. And then my aunt's just kind of like stroking my hair. I'm starting to fall asleep. And then next thing I know, like I see like a, you know how it is like late at night, like when a car passes by and you like see a light. And then you see shadows, right? Well, I thought that's what it was, but it wasn't. It was almost like this little dim light. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, the whole kitchen is just really, really dark. And then I start hearing drawers open. And I start hearing cabinets, and I start hearing glasses move around, right? Well, I'm thinking, I'm hearing it. Well, my aunt starts holding me closer. And she's like, baby, it's okay. It's okay. And I hear her breathing heavy. And then I hear her boyfriend saying, what the F is that? You know, like quietly. And then it's still making racket. And then I hear my aunt's friend saying, hey, shut up down there. We're trying to sleep, you know? And then that lady's husband comes in and flicks on the light. Hey, we're trying to sleep. We got guests. Leave us alone, you know? And he's like, all right, guys. Okay, guys, don't worry. I took care of it. And then he shuts the light off. And then next thing you know, like the drawers just start flying open and
oh my God.
All this stuff starts going crazy. Well, I think that guy pissed it off. And then my aunt like covers like my ears and she's like, it's okay, baby, just go to sleep, just go to sleep. And then I pass out. And uh-huh. then I wake up her waking me up early in the morning saying, hey, let's get out of here. So so we leave at like 6 a.m. and then they take me to like a Denny's and eat. And then I go home and then she's like, hey, don't tell your mom anything, okay?
Well, hey, guess what? Mom knows now.
Oh, yeah, she does, yeah.
But yeah. You know what? Now, that brings me back to something. You know, you hear about poltergeist. Mm-hmm. You know, poltergeist is like, they say that it's supposed to be our own energy. Like yeah. Somebody had tried to say, well, they didn't try, but they mentioned that maybe that when I was attacked, that was my own energy. It was a poltergeist.
Okay.
But I still don't think so. And now when you just mentioned this, you know, somebody else might say that was poltergeist activity, but you actually seen something first.
Yeah, I did.
That's where it takes me back to intelligent spirit, mm-hmm. intelligent entity or intelligent haunting. Mm. That is quite a story. I mean, you know, believe you me, yeah, I would be pretty doggone scared if I heard things just getting thrown around and tossed around. The guy yells at it or gets even madder.
Yeah. You know, I know.
That would really, at least at my age now, I would be running out of the house. I'd be gone.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, like right now, like with the Zook and I and stuff, and then like my prior background in law enforcement, like seeing a lot of like, I say, how do I put it? Seeing like the worst in people and knowing what's behind it, you know what I'm saying? You know, now I look at it as, you know, like I think demons, I think fallen angels, I think these things are punks. And now reading through scriptures, accepting Jesus and all that, and being in the spiritual aspect in the spiritual realm and knowing like what we have to combat, mm-hmm. I get like righteous anger, you know what I'm saying? Like when I see something like that or I feel something like that. Mm-hmm. And like, have you ever had like, have you ever had a sleep paralysis before?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Many times. As a matter of fact, talking about the second house that we moved into in 1971 after we left my early childhood house, I would get sleep paralysis there quite often. And I call it, what I always felt like it was like an entity holding me down. And mm-hmm. for me, I couldn't speak. I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. And in my mind, all I would do is pray Jesus. And then eventually I would be released. And it's like it's sitting on you and it's you're literally then just released mm-hmm. and you can move again.
Yeah, it's almost like it has you pinned.
Exactly. It does have you pinned. And that same thing happened to my sister in that house. And a cousin, she had her ankles jerked in that house. That was the second house I was telling you about. But sleep paralysis happened to me. I shouldn't say all the time, but probably about 5 or 6 times in that house. In the time I lived there from 1971 to about 19, I think I moved out in 19, because my mom owned that house and she owned a second house on the same property. And I lived in one and then she lived in the other as I got older and then had my son. I think I moved out in 1998 or something like that. So yeah, that happens.
You ever had any missing time with that?
Once that I can remember that I had missing time, just driving along and looking at the clock, you know, seeing the clock and listening to music. And it felt like I just went through almost like a tunnel and realized how much time had just passed. And I didn't even realize, you know, it didn't feel like it. And that's only happened to me once. And I don't know. I felt like, did I just travel into a parallel dimension or something?
Yeah.
Or something like that? Because the time, I could not account for this whole block of time where I went from point A to point B.
Yeah.
There was this space in between where it's almost like I didn't even see anything.
Yeah.
I was just almost transported to this one spot. And yeah. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. It's only happened to me one time. Some things that have never happened to me, I've never smelt like the sulfur smell. I've never been scratched. I've never heard the three knocks or anything like that. So, you know, but that was a very strange time. And you know, people have asked me, you know, do you think that the entity that you saw when you were little, do you think it could have been, you know, a cryptid? And I can absolutely say, no, it wasn't. It absolutely wasn't. It was at one time it had been a human being. I call him a demon because regardless whatever he did, it was very evil. And he died that way. Then he continued to be evil throughout. And I believe he was holding that poor little child entity as, I don't believe that child entity was anything else but a child entity. And I don't believe that he was anything evil at all. I just don't. That was the one time, that one I would never think that he was ever evil. And I think, you know, looking back from the years that have gone by, 60 years, and I've had this much time to be able to think about things. It's not like I think about it all the time, but it's something that, you know, in your spirit, you know, I my heart still breaks for him. I think he's being held captive. I think his soul is being held captive.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, he doesn't know he can pass on.
Yeah.
You know, and there is absolutely nothing that can be done for them now because those houses have been torn down. That whole community has been torn down. And right now there are two sets of condominiums, you know, like 4 or 5 story condominiums in its place. So nothing can be done for them. Not that I would try myself, you know, because I don't know how to do that stuff. That's probably where I would probably ask if a medium would go over there and see if they could help, you know, guide that child's spirit to the other side. But I don't know if that would be right either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that I don't want to talk, you know, I've talked to some mediums and I will not let them tell me anything.
Yeah.
Don't tell me anything. Cause I don't want to know. I gather my information from a different source and that's the source I'm sticking with. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
You know, what God wants me to know, he will let me know. I mean, the Holy Spirit is our counselor and our everything, your comforter and counselor and will give us our answers and such. And there's no reason to delve into anything else. And if I don't know, it's because I'm not supposed to know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's just how I feel. But I can appreciate others if that's, you know, what they want to believe, that's fine. But you mentioned something that does have my curiosity, only because I'm grateful that your friend is now a Christian, but he was a Satanist.
Well, he dated a witch that was a Satanist.
Oh,
he was kind of teeter-tottering on that line.
Okay,
he wasn't fully in,
kind of flirting with it.
Exactly, yeah. But he's seen how it was going with her, and like he kind of, like, okay, something's not right. This isn't going very good.
Yeah.
But like I said, though, after we get off, I will send you his testimonies.
I can't wait. I can't wait to learn more. You know, I mean, we know even biblically, King Solomon allowed his many wives to bring their little tiny gods in, and that wasn't a very good thing, you know, knowing that he knew who the one true God was. But it happens. You know, we become, you know, what's the saying? Lay down with dogs and wake up with fleas. I mean, I don't mean it to sound so crude, but we can be influenced either way. You know, there's so much influential things out there. You know, look at, you know, social media and such. I mean, there's a lot of times I just turn it off. I'm like, I can't even do this. And I'm not about to get into arguments with people because that we lead by example, not by persecuting people. We can't persecute people. We need to love on people, which is exactly our commandment to do so.
Yeah. Yep, two greatest things. Love God, love people. That's
it. Yeah. We lead by example, not by harsh words and such. So, you know, it's a very interesting world indeed. You know, there's so much to be, so much to learn, and then there's so much more to learn before we leave this body.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree 100%.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, as I said, you know, I've had so many other encounters. I lived in Louisiana for about 1 year, mm-hmm. and going into Louisiana from California, let me tell you, you want to talk about another world. It's
culture shock, yeah.
Oh, but the loveliest people, just yes. the sweetest people. And was out one night, because I didn't go out. I still don't go out at night, but this night I went out with friends, and we were driving through this little neighborhood area and you know, turning roads. And of course I had no idea where I was at, but we're getting ready to drive in through where these mansions were. And I seen this, I could only see his face and his lantern, and mm-hmm. there was nobody there.
Oh man.
There was nobody there, but he was still illuminated. And you bet. I mean, I'm in the back seat and I'm looking back to see, like, what did I just, nobody else seen him.
Yeah.
But me. And I'm an adult. This is me at, I don't know, 42 years old. It's like, how does this happen? You know, but you're in areas where this type of stuff is very open.
Oh yeah.
There's no, yeah. It's not the same as here. And like I said, a lot of really wonderful people, but
voodoo and Santeria are like run rapid.
Oh, Santeria. That's Mexico. Yeah. The Santeria and voodoo and hoodoo is Haitian.
Yeah.
That's Haitian. And, but I, like I said, I met a lot of really nice people, but you just like want to be, you want to keep your distance.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be careful.
Yeah. Especially. Yeah. Cause they, yeah, you don't know what they're really doing. You don't know what they're mm-hmm. about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, the next, in a lot of it down there is they take Catholicism and mix it with voodoo,
mm-hmm.
which is very, I don't know. You know, it's like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's their culture, but it's not mine.
Yeah. There's this guy we got scheduled, I think two months, but he was a practicing Santeria Satanist.
Oh.
But he's actually a full-fledged Christian now. So he's going to come on and tell us about his testimony. But he said that some of the stuff he said is like, holy crap, dude. Wow.
Are you guys on YouTube? Because I couldn't.
Yeah, we are. Oh, we are, yeah.
I'm going to go back to all of your, because I love this. You've got people with some really powerful testimonies.
Yeah. Ever heard of Gary Wayne? Gary Wayne is okay. So basically we just interviewed him last day. Anyways, he talks about like Genesis 6 and like the Nephilim, and he's very like end times. Like
mm-hmm.
we don't just talk to people who've had experiences too. We talk to like professionals on like certain aspects of the Bible or right. anything like conspiracies or anything like that. So
yeah,
and then well, this that, other. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's quite a subject, you know, the Nephilim, because mm-hmm. that, they called them sons of God, but they were not sons of God. The Nephilim were not sons of God. They were not, you know, I mean, God created everything as we know, but the Nephilim were wiped out with the flood, along mm-hmm. with all the women that they found attractive. It's quite a subject. Thank goodness they're gone.
Yeah, well, this guy, he's got like his doctorate in Hebrew, and he really, really breaks it all down to where we can understand. And it's like he's actually written two books. One of them is called The Genesis 6 Conspiracy, and the other one's called The Genesis 6 Conspiracy 2. So but we actually interviewed him twice, and he breaks it all down, and he totally brings it back to where Genesis 6, and also too, he talks about how like the DNA meshes, that's where he traces to where like Goliath and all this stuff. Like he really does his homework, like wow. years and years of homework on this.
Well,
like,
yeah.
And he backs it up with the Bible too. So it's like, oh, I didn't even realize that said that in there, you know, it's like, dang.
Yeah. yeah.
Really good. It was good.
So can you send me that link?
Oh yeah. I'll send you all that.
Yeah. Send me all that stuff, because I'm going to find you on YouTube, and it's under cryptid warfare, Okay, so I'm going to find you on YouTube and make sure I'm subscribed to that. Because I looked for you. Maybe I just looked for you guys under your name and didn't think.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's
Zook. And, you know, I know you've got the logo. It says Cryptid Warfare. I'm going to be sure to do that because I want to watch yours. That's very, very interesting. I enjoy people who take that much time to study the Bible and back it up with proof and such. That's very interesting.
He's so intelligent. After we were done, I was like, Zook, my brain is like jello right now. I got like, man, and he's like, hey guys, when are you gonna have me back on? I'm like, let's just wait about 6 months, dude. So I can like rest and get mentally prepared
from all that first.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. But anyways, Tony, we're coming up on our hour and a half mark. That's awesome. Okay. So like I said, you know, I appreciate you coming on. Zook had to cut off to work, guys, so sorry about that, but
no worries.
Yeah, but other than that, yeah, Tony will definitely have you on for a round two for sure.
Oh, I would love it. I would love it. You guys are just so awesome. This is like, this is really truthfully, I'm going to sound a little, I don't know. I just prejudice, I guess, but this is like my favorite interview yet.
We appreciate it. Yeah.
This is so cool.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah.
You guys are awesome.
I appreciate it for sure. Yeah, that's one thing Zook and I really try to do is we really try to make it easy for people, chill out, joke with them, you know, basically just fellowship and have a good time. So,
amen. Thank you so much for having me.
But other than that, Tony, if anybody has any questions, concerns, or anything like that, where can people get a hold of you at?
Well, you can get a hold of me. I'm on X Twitter at. You can find me at Tony Lawlor, LAWLOR on X Twitter, or Tony Shapiro on X Twitter. It's my married name and my maiden name. Or you can find me on Facebook at Tony Shapiro, or you can, let me see, I'm on LinkedIn. That's about it. I don't give my email addresses.
Okay. Oh, you good on that. Yeah. Because usually, basically, after every person we interview, there's some people who have questions. I'm like, guys, I don't know. Like, if you want to know, you can actually get a hold of them. If they write you back, they write you back. They don't. So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I could give one of my emails. Let me
No, no, sure. No, you're good. I'm just saying you don't have to, but I'm just saying like whatever you're comfortable with is awesome. So, but other than that, I can have Zook because since you and I are already friends on Facebook. So
yes.
I can have Zook plug in like your Facebook page.
Okay.
If people just want to message you or something, if they have any questions or concerns, or they'd be saying, hey, I'm going through the same thing. So, pray for me or whatever, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. They can message me on Messenger. That's right.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Absolutely.
On that, Tony, appreciate you, one girl.
Thank you so much.
It's going good. And like I said, don't hang up yet, but I'm going to end the recording and then we'll chat a little more. And like I said, I'll get to you. I'll get you all those recordings and get you plugged in.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you again for having me.
Oh, yeah, 100%. All right, guys. This is Drewski of Cryptid Warfare. We are done, guys. And like you said, Zook couldn't be here. He had to go to work. So it's all good. We will adapt and overcome. So, all right, guys. Just remember, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of this age. And, guys, keep your heads up. So you guys have a good week. Good weekend. And we're out.
Yeah. God is so good, man, it's crazy. God is so good, man, it's crazy. I came a long way and I still got a lot more to give, but I'm patient. I'm working on me and I want you to see that I'm doing that daily. And in this generation, you showed me the curse. I be the one to break it. I swear you can keep all the nonsense. See, that man I never had time for. You see, in a world full of darkness, do not be alarmed if I shine more. To live in the light, that's what I'm for. Y'all hold it down till we find more. I might throw a concert in heaven. Yeah, it'll be a ticket to die for. Everybody waiting in line for, singing me rhyme for. People with joy to be happy. You see how we making it, living and pacing it. Know that we doing it at it. And what are you thinking? Ain't nobody sinking. I know you see God as my captain. And he gon' pick up when I'm lacking. I promise it's bigger than rapping. I promise it's bigger than rapping. Still put the mic in the heater. I'm sick with a fever and I ain't even up in no cabin. I can't be put in the box. I know you won't see me. Well, that's if you're tracking the package. Step in a land full of demons and still be at peace when you see when I'm wreaking some havoc. Hold up. I think they peeped the style now. Be like this for a while now. Won't find me in no pile now. You cannot turn this down now. And I say, Yeah, we're gonna keep all that. Yeah, wait, let D move. My style can't be reused. I can't be afraid of me twos. Look, I step in it well like free shoes. God got me so you won't see D lose. I've been this way since preschool. Look this way, that way don't seem cool. And I still got more sauce than G Hughes. Good Lord. I'm back with some help. I'm building my stock. I'm backing myself. Trust me, the team isn't lacking no depth. I'm walking with God. I'm tracking my steps. Mama just bought me a brand new cross. The Lord is my GPS when I'm lost. He throw me a blessing, I catch it like moss. My soul can never be bought. I don't think I need a mentor. I need to vent more. I already know what I'm in for. Why do you think I got him for? I want to win more without the reason to sin more. Get what I'm saying like 10-4. This is a pin roll. Yeah, my flow sweeter than Lindor. Spirit ain't never been piss poor. Tears a big joy. Putting more sweat than a gym floor. Look, don't be scared of depression. Just soak it all in like water and leaves. Instead of neglecting the messages, look in the mirror. Say, Lord, I believe. Yeah, it's a lot that I am, but I think they didn't like when they calling them D. I had a calling, so I had to answer when I seen that call ID. Hello. Yes, Lord, I surrender it all to you. I can get him involved with you, but first I'm passing the ball to you. I'm giving all of my flaws to you. I'm only answering calls from you. I get back up when I fall to you. You ask if I know what to take, I do. Winning this race, we don't need no pit stop. And I do think that we can save this thing that we call hip hop. Anybody don't like it, I really get excited if I take down a big shot. It's D, man. Yeah. I can't explain the feeling, I just know. You go through it to get through it. Yeah. Oh, we gonna be okay. It's gonna always be alright. Yeah. Light rap.